Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinalem, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, thank you Prem and thank you Hari. And dear listeners, the month of June has started and so begins a new academic year, 2013 and 2014. Hundreds of students across India who prepared and persevered, worked hard and prayed to become a student of these hallowed institutions in Puttaparthi finally were thrilled to see their dreams materialize. And what a refreshing sight it is to see this new army of Sai students in white and white once again filling the Sai Kulwant Hall, especially on Thursdays and Sundays when the primary school students too are there. In fact, whenever you see these students marching in neat lines to the college from the hostel or coming to the mandir in disciplined groups and participating wholeheartedly in every activity of the Sai Kulwant Hall, in every festival of Prashantinilam, it makes you feel that these institutions are truly the jewels of Prashantinilam. And whenever you see the students, your mind always dwells on the deep connection, the deep relationship that the students always enjoyed with Bhagwan, and how Bhagwan always says, "My students are my property." Indeed, there is no other community which is as blessed, which has received so much time of the avatar, which has received so many blessings from the Lord as this community. In fact, when you reflect on it, from the time Baba started his schools and colleges, the lion's share of his time always was conferred on the students. And this was a constant. No matter how exhausting Bhagwan's schedule became, especially in the later years after he started so many mammoth projects, or how delicate his body became after decades and decades of relentless work in the last 10-20 years or so, everything could pause or stop, but one thing which never changed is the time that Bhagwan gave to his students. When the super speciality hospital started in 1991, for instance, in Puttaparthi, in the initial year of this hospital, Swami spent a lot of time with the doctors, with the hospital officials and so on, and making frequent visits to these institutions, guiding and motivating the physicians, the surgeons and other paramedical staff and so on. And this continued only for a couple of years, and then it slowly dwindled. The same story when the hospital in Whitefield came up. The first year of the super speciality hospital there, Swami spent weeks in Bangalore, spoke to the boys who joined as staff in these hospitals on innumerable occasions, gave audience almost regularly to the doctors, he inquired with them daily about the operations done and so on. But 2-3 years down the line, all this diminished. And it is the same tale with every other project. In the initial phase of the project, any project, Swami would give so much of his time, because Swami himself said it is like an infant. It needs that much attention. And once it becomes a toddler, and once it learns to walk on its own, and once it is 5 or 6 years old, then it can learn to walk. And I have to give that much time in the initial phase of any institution. But the only exception is the university, the schools and colleges. Swami's time for these institutions never ever decreased. His maximum time always went to the students. New batches of students joined every year, and Swami was busy all the time shaping and molding their hearts, creating new beings out of their personalities. In fact, yesterday I was speaking to an alumnus, Harish Mehpuri, who joined Baba's Ooty school way back in 1980 for his 5th standard. And in that year, Swami came to Ooty, and when he was there in that hill station spending time with the boys, one day Swami just called Harish and told him, "You will always be with me." And till this day, this rings in the mind of this boy. And as he was sharing this, he went on to narrate how Swami always kept his word incredibly, not only during his stay in the college, but even beyond that. As the director of his firm, Sai Lakshmi Industries, he has had some really tough times. But always he has come out of it remarkably. During one such time when he came to Prashantilayam to seek Swami's guidance because he had almost become bankrupt. The only question Swami asked him is, "Do you have faith in me? Do you have faith in me?" And today, he's so successful and so contented, so happy and so much at peace. In fact, that family also had their decade-long prayer answered when Swami permitted them to build the music college here in Prashantinilayam and honored them by christening it as Sri Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music. In fact, the whole conversation with him lasted for almost 2 hours, and we will be playing that sometime on Radio Sai as part of our Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memory series. So like this, there are so many alumni of Sai institutions today who in their own way are constantly striving to bring about some positive difference to society wherever they may be. There are many alumni I know who, after working in the corporate environment for 5 or 6 years, have turned into entrepreneurs. Many intend to turn into entrepreneurs because it gives them the opportunity to provide employment to so many more and to do their business in a manner that benefits society in many ways. And like most Sai Seva work, most of the students do it silently, and that is why we do not know about them. They just do it as their offering of love and gratitude to Swami. While this is what the boys who go out of the portals of the educational institutions, who go out of Prashantinilayam, strive to do, there is also this exclusive group who decide to stay on in Prashantinilayam after their education, who decide to contribute directly to Bhagwan's mission, working in any of his institutions in this divine hamlet, be it in the hospitals, the colleges, the school, the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust, the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, or even Radio Sai. Yes, there are at least a couple of boys eager to join Radio Sai this year too. And a week ago, I had the chance to talk to 3 such boys, you know, who decided to take the road less traveled, who chose to dedicate their lives for the Sai mission. They took this decision last year. These are boys who joined various institutions in Prashantinilayam in 2012 after completing their masters in Bhagwan's University. And last Thursday, during the same hour, I played for you the first part of the panel discussion with these 3 boys. Siddharth Haridas, who joined the Bhaktisayak division of the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust after his MBA in 2012. The Bhaktisayak division of the Sadhana Trust looks after the canteens, shopping complex and so on. The second boy who shared his experiences was Karthik Dwivedi, who too after his MBA joined the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust in June 2012. And finally, the third participant in this discussion was Abhishek Rao, who after his Masters in Sciences in Biosciences, MSc Biosciences, joined the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, the super speciality hospital here in Puttaparthi. And this discussion actually went on for about 1.5 hours. And last week I played for you the first 45 minutes of this session, wherein each of them shared how they happened to become Sai students, how their long pending wish finally found fulfillment when they entered into the hostel in Prashantinilayam. And then they went on to share some of the unforgettable moments that they have experienced being the last batch of students who had the privilege of basking in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan. And today we will listen to the next part of this presentation, wherein they begin by continuing to reminisce certain beautiful moments of their hostel life and then they go on to share why they decided to not take the path which more than 90% of their classmates did, why they did not want to begin a corporate career and opted instead to spend their life in Prashanthi Nilayam, and also how it has been for them working for the Sai Mission in his several institutions in Prashanthi Nilayam in the last 1 year. So this is what we'll be listening to in the next 60 minutes or so. But before we begin, let us once again offer our deep love and gratitude to Swami for having bestowed on us this opportunity of being guided and guarded by Him, giving us this chance of loving Him and being loved and cared by Him. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we determine to rise up to your expectations and make you proud at every instance of our lives. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. The time in the studios now is 8:52 and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And today, we talk to the alumni who took the road less traveled. The second part of the discussion with Siddharth Haridas, Karthik Dwivedi and Abhishek Rao. Over now to this session. It starts with Abhishek Rao recalling his days in the Satya Sai hostel.
I should say the hostel life here, as other two mentioned, is entirely different from what it is outside. Mm-hmm. Here, at every moment, at every step, you learn some or the other lesson. Like right from the time you get up to the time you go back to the sleep or go to the bed. Every minute you learn something new. Like some amazing moments which I had in hostel was like during sports meet time. Mm-hmm. I literally love sports meets. Like the kind of teamwork which goes on, the kind of brotherhood which you see there on the ground, the way your seniors, the way your room teacher, the way your wing teacher or your senior, I mean, your professors behave with you, the way they care for you, the way Chalam sir, he'll be always ready with juices. The moment you run and come from the Hillview and get into the hostel, juice is ready for you. So it was, till certain extent, I even feel that it is not even possible to give such kind of care even at home. The kind of care which they give in hostel. That's why there was a small saying at the entrance of the hostel, it's a home away from the home.
Yes.
So, and it, which really holds good. Like every day you'll have some or the other nice experience. And I should say, like whenever I used to go home, after some say 3 or 4 days, my mother will say, I think you're not liking it here. You are happy there. And to tell you, it is truth. I love my hostel. I mean, literally at home.
And it is that Abhishek which was actually very apprehensive to join because he didn't want to leave Mrs. Parents.
So it was no other way. So really, hostel has played a very important role in developing and shaping our character, future or our personality, I should say. There are a lot many experiences, like if we count those, I think it's a never-ending thing. It has literally played a very important role.
Siddharth, what are your best moments in the hostel?
I would say, I think for all of us, it would have been Janmashtami, Ganesh Chaturthi, major festivals. Sports meet, as you mentioned, and I know some one thing which you should also mention, but rather I would want to highlight is the coaches who come from outside, the kind of
during sports meet.
You know, we have a lot of people who come out from different places, from as far as Singapore, to teach us and train us for different items. The kind of help and encouragement and enthusiasm that they show, which is really, you know, infectious. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say, and that is one thing. And then Janmashtami, when we really have a gala time, splashing and playing in water. Then Ganesh Chaturthi, building chariots, sitting in late at night, and you know, that's you really don't know, I mean, the kind of latent talent that is there in a person. These are avenues which now, when in the second year they started this, restarted this altar competition, there was again one more really fun time.
Lot of group activities.
You really don't know. I mean, the person might be your cupboard mate, and he's sleeping right next to you. You don't know the guy has so much of latent talent. How artistically he uses, you know, agarbattis to shape out different things.
Thermocol pieces.
You know, it's something amazing. I mean, I really did not expect the guy who was sitting next to me to do that. I mean, I've really not seen him doing it in the first year. Suddenly, you know, this
a lot of avenues.
I mean, those times I think which we had the.
But again, there's one thing. Like, what motivates boys to do this kind of thing? At the end of it, if you see, there's only one thing. It's Swami. To make Swami happy. It was in right from say from music college to say in Vrindavan or in Parthi. Any activity, any like say from, as he mentioned, Ganesh Chaturthi, why are we making that chariot? Just to see that, like, Swami should say Chala Santosham. Swami should just say, so at least he should just smile, that's enough. So like, there was only one motivation which, you know, which makes us little different from outside. Also people are working hard, but there are different intentions, different motivations. Yeah. But here
people
there's only one
outside also, yeah, to do hard work.
Yeah.
But here the underlying purpose for which you do is something very different.
Yeah.
They may outside they may work for some incentive, some award or something, but here total focus is on Swami.
And I think that's why the joy is different, the whole teamwork and the group activity echoes a completely different
aura. At the end of the day, somebody recognizes you or not, but you will still feel happy about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you have made somebody, like you have made your God happy
you
about
never
it.
Thought about yourself so much actually when you're doing that. You never thought about yourself. It's about the, all of us somehow putting together something beautiful, make something beautiful to offer. So I think that whole vibration of doing that thing is very different.
I think the synergy that you find in these kind of activities here, I don't think you find elsewhere. Because I think, you know, with two people or three people joining to do any activity, there'll be some argument or something of the sort going on. Here, no, we have got tight schedule, so really don't have time to argue. You know, it has to be done. So, you know, let's not argue.
Cohesion.
Let's
get a lot of group cohesion.
Lot of group cohesion. And it's just, you know, amazing the way it happens here. I remember Ganesh Chaturthi at the time was chariot building. Who thought, you know, you can do it like this? Suddenly ideas come up, you know, bulb goes on top and it just happens. And then everybody just pitches in. There's no person whom I've really seen in my 2 years who's really stayed aside.
Yeah.
Unless he's, you know, physically ill or something of the sort.
It might be
cleaning up, it might be mopping the place, it might be something, you know, for getting the place ready. He might not be able to contribute with artistically, he might be going and fetching things from the next room, tape this, that, keeping it ready. Everybody is a part of it. I really think it is impossible for you to, because the other guys will be, you know, motivating you, sitting, come, let's do something. Yeah, this is for Swami. We'll do something for Swami. It's like that, as he mentioned, you know. So, in some way or the other, everybody is involved. Everybody. It might be a very trivial thing, you know, starting from keeping all the supplies ready, or for going to the next room and collecting things, and or even me, you know. But it's there. Everybody is there. You should see the kind of, energy that is there for those 2-3 days. And then after that, you really will think, is it the same building? Is it the same room where you saw that kind of energy the next day? Everybody is normal, you know, back to normal. But the moment these things come up, people are just ready. I remember there was one classmate of ours by name, Aditya, Sai Aditya, SSA. He would just stay up, awake into the night, and, you know, keep on doing it, working with this chariot. And they used to be Ganesha chariot, and they used to be part of the maintenance. He will be awake at night, late night, doing the structures.
Really,
there is no other motivation. And, you know, even last year when Swami was physically not there, we didn't see any difference. Everybody is still motivated in the same way.
They're still doing the chariot.
I mean, from a lot of quarters we heard this, you know, whether the hostel will function in the same way, whether the students will be motivated in the same way. Our teachers have told us, we were really shocked. But I guess it's the love that students have, you know, even I'm sure the generations that will come, it's the love that they have to please Swami that will drive them to do what they are doing.
Probably it will even go greater heights.
That's how it is.
Siddharth, was there any moment in your days in the hostel when you missed home?
I think apart from the first day, not really much. Not really. No, I think the first day was the last time I really thought I'm going to miss my parents.
You also were apprehensive.
I was really. But that was there just for one day. As he said, the hostel life is so fast.
But was there any moment which really touched you, staying in the hostel? Moment that you can't really ever forget?
Yeah, there was this time when I was physically unwell. And it was during the time when we were having, I think our exams were going on at that time. And my seniors were there who were doing MBA. And they would come down and help me, you know, because during the exams they'll have some gap. Yeah. 1 or 2 days gap would be there, and these guys would come down and help me with the subject, because I was literally bedridden, and it was very difficult for me to get up and read. So they'll tell me, you know, this is probably it. My classmates also, you know, they would, what we would do is we'd go through the previous question papers. So, okay, this question might come, this question might not come. So you just at least go through this question. And I remember one or two of my classmates who were staying in the next room. They were all having group study, and you know, at the end of it, they would come down and tell me, so this question is there, why don't you just go through this? You know, it will help you sail through the paper. And literally, it did help me sail through the paper, because that is the only thing that I really studied hard. That is one experience that I had. And even though I've studied outside, you know, my undergrad I've done outside, we would have group studies, and you would go through all this. It was all there, but not to the extent that this would be. You know, calling you up, you know, I'll tell you what this is. These are the points. Just remember these points, you know, A, B, C, D, E. These are the points. Remember this. And you pretty much, you know, after that, you can just build on them and write. And then you'll clear the paper. I mean, it was like that. And our batch, that's fine. Seniors coming in, helping you with the paper. Not really. I don't think so. And I don't think anywhere else. I'm sure it's a competitive world. You know, you're out to eat everybody else out and ensure that you're not eaten up. I don't think anybody will do that.
So so when you were not well, you not only your classmates, you found your
seniors. I found my seniors helping me, and I must say, you know, I'm really thankful to what they did at the time, because I was really down and out. And for me to, there was a time when I thought that I might really not be able to write the exam, because it was really tiring, and it was around Gram Seva time. Mm. So immediately after that, we had Gram Seva also, and I was not sure if I will be able to stay for Gram Seva, and we wanted it to be a part of it. So all this, you know, pressure was there, and with these guys coming and helping me out, it was a really good time for me at the time. I would say you don't really kind of find these this sort of helping nature elsewhere.
Wonderful. I think as Abhishek was saying, you know, it's a home away from home. And I really remember one other quotation which is there in the Vrindavan hostel. A hostel is a place where each one lives for the other and all live for God. And that is the definition of home.
Yeah.
And it is there in the hostel. And perhaps I think everyone who goes to the hostel kind of will resonate with that. You each one, you know, living for the other. That's really wonderful. So I think we spent some time talking about your days in the hostel, and we can never be done with talking about Mandir, because there is so much we've already touched upon. But I think let's come to that question of why finally, after you had this 2 years of stay with Bhagwan, and you went through that phase of April 2011, and after that one whole year you continued to study, and then you decided to stay back in Prashant Nilayam. What was your motivation, Karthikeya?
Actually, I had not thought of staying as I was doing my MBA. So after the first year, as you know, the transition phase happened, and Swami's Mahasamadhi, and that was really shocking for all of us, because Swami was there in hospital for many days and we were here. And when Swami, this incident happened, Swami leaving his physical body, we were there back in our home, because that was a vacation time.
Yes.
And then we came and we were really pained, and we were not knowing that what is going to happen. Is Swami is going to again come back? Because some people told that Swami may come after 3 days or something like that. So it was really disturbing. But I really thought that, okay, Swami is God. If he has done something, he'll do it. Because for Swami, devotee's welfare and is the first thing. Because Swami always, whatever he does for his devotee. So Swami might have been, something might be there for Swami to do. So Swami has taken a decision. So we are no one to question.
So whatever he does is for the welfare. So even if he is taking this decision, it's for our welfare.
It is for our welfare, and he knows what is good, because we are nobody to teach.
We are no one to question.
No one to question, because it is his decision. Because many people told me that time, because he has left his body because of us, because we are not behaving in a proper manner, we are not going as per his principle. But after all, it's his decision. I don't know that. I don't think because for some devotees
ever understand.
Yes. So it went on, and the new academic year started. And before new academic year started, one incident happened. I was back in my home after Swami's Mahasamadhi ceremony. I was back in my home. So I was going back in my memory that what happened in the past 1 year. And I used to maintain a diary. I used to write daily what happened in Mandir. Swami used to give Padmavaskar or some blessing. Everything I had noted down. So just a thought came to my mind, and let me count how many Padmavaskar Swami has given me in a year. So I counted, and it came to 49.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I just missed half century by one. Okay, Swami had given 49, but I'm grateful to Swami for 49, but I just thought that, okay, I missed one.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same night, I mean, reading the evening, in my dream, Swami comes.
Mm-hmm.
And so Swami comes, and I stand before me, and he lifts his robe and take Padmavaskar.
Oh my God.
And that becomes 50. So I thought, okay, thought came to my mind.
I just wish, as you mentioned, as Siddhartha was saying, nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. That's what I felt that time. And I just thought came in mind, I'll count, and it became 49. And same night, Swami comes in my dream and gives me one more Padmavaskar. He is not saying anything. He just is lifting his robe and take Padmavaskar. He indicated, and I took Padmavaskar. So I thought, Swami is very much there. It is Leela. He has withdrawn himself. For a time being, he may come back. So it was there in my mind, and the year continued. At the end of the year, because always one thing is in my mind, that whatever is happening, we should focus on the present. I never focused on the future. What will happen, I don't know, because people are discussing for job and other things, because the end is approaching year.
Yes.
But I'm not thinking anything. I'm thinking, okay, that it is up to Swami to decide why we should think. Because one thing I felt, and I always feel that it is correct, that Swami, whatever is that, only divine will prevails. There is nothing called individual will. We may think so many thing we'll do, but finally it happens whatever he wills. So it's better to leave to Swami. Whatever he has to do, he will do. So at the end of the year, Brother Satyajit, he came for making presentation for Vidyavahini. And in that presentation, he told, because he was also part of our system, so he told us, see, Swami has given us a lot of love and care, and why don't we stay back because here and contribute something directly to Swami's mission. Outside also we may go for our job or something, and we may go to samitis and participate in the activity, but why not directly under his care? So a thought came to my mind that it is a good thing, and it is a good time to give gratitude to Swami for all he has given me in all this year. Because that time Swami also has left, so his physical form, he left his physical form, so it was coming to my mind that in what way we can give the gratitude to Swami. Because we cannot repay everything for what he has given. But some way to express as an expression of token of love and gratitude. So I thought, if some opportunity is there, I will stay back. So a thought came to my mind that I will go for Vidyavahini program. So that time they have started fellowship program. So a school is there in the Rishikesh, Rishatesai school. So they were thinking that you can go there and you can implement Vidyavahini.
So stay in Rishikesh.
Stay in Rishikesh.
Implement Vidyavahini program.
Implement Vidyavahini program as a fellowship, you can go there. So a thought was there in my mind. Then suddenly a thought came, but I'll be away from Prashanti Nilayam. Because this is the place where I wanted to stay. Well, okay, if I'm getting opportunity for 1 year, 2 years, for whatever time I want to stay. But I'll be staying away. And in case Swami comes back, I'll be away only. So the thought is there. So I should be here at least in Prashanti Nilayam. So whatever opportunity is there, I should do work in Prashanti Nilayam.
So you are very clear. You want to be in Prashanti Nilayam.
Yeah, I was very clear. I wanted to be in Prashanti Nilayam. Earlier I was not clear. I told brother that I may go and stay there. Then suddenly a thought came. So I told him, see brother, I cannot go there. If something is there, I am ready to hear. So he told, as of now, nothing is there in Prashanti Nilayam for Vidyavahini. So then suddenly a lot of presentations and other things started from Sadhana Trust. So Sadhana Trust people came, they explained these are the opportunities. So I also got used to, then I came and spoke to and various offices here. Then some people told me Central Trust also they need some people for account. Though Central Trust people, they have not come for the presentation over there. So I went there and I met people. So finally I got, and they told this Swami, they are going to, Trust is going to start water project. So that gave a lot of attention for me, that okay, Swami has done water project, I've heard, but now I'm going to experience that how it is going to evolve from starting, because
the extension of the water project.
Extension of the water project in the Anandpur district, three mandals of the Anandpur district.
How many villages?
118 villages.
118 villages. So you wanted to see?
Yeah, I wanted to see how
be part of it somehow.
To be part of that service project of Swami. Because in Swami has done in various places, and last one was in Chennai. So I was thinking that Swami has done so much, but what I'm going to experience, it will be a totally different thing, because I'll see how it is going to evolve from the initial stage and how it is going to culminate with water to the 118 villages. So that attracted me so much. So I immediately told, okay, Swami is giving opportunity and I will join. So that's how I joined the Central Trust.
Wonderful.
So in the June 2012.
I mean, the you are very clear.
One more thing I just want to share. What had happened that, as I told you, I left everything to Swami. I was not thinking anything what is going to happen in future. And Swami suddenly gave me a message, a thought or message, you can say. In my dream, Swami told you, don't worry, I am taking care of your future. You should not worry.
He told you that?
Yeah.
This
happened when I was in student before end semester exams. And he told you, don't worry, I'm taking care of your future. You need not worry. And as far as work is concerned, you'll be the first person in your class to get the work.
Swami told me.
But I didn't share with anybody, because that people may take the different meaning that he's saying like that, because I was not sharing it with anybody. And it has happened the 15th April, our exams got over, and on 21st April, I got confirmation that I am here. It's within 6 days. So I am thinking, how Swami is responding here.
And you're the first guy.
I am the first guy, because others, they are going for Catalyst program. because Catalyst program was scheduled on 22nd and 23rd.
Yeah, Catalyst just helps the boys.
Alumni
help the current
batch. And others along with me, those who are there in ashram, they were also applying. So it was not confirmed from others. So for me, it got confirmed on 21st, and I went and attended Catalyst also. Then I came for Mahasamadhi. So Swami, he gave me that message that, you don't worry, I'm taking care of you, the first person. And that's how Swami.
And all the guidance, I mean, the every time you have a prayer, any request, everything is granted.
If you leave everything to him, he's there. He's always there for everybody.
Wonderful. Fantastic. And it continues.
Yes.
Abhishek, tell us what prompted you to stay back.
As much as Karthik, even I was not sure whether I'm going to stay back. I never had any thought that I'm going to stay back. It just happened. It was in January 2012. I decided to undergo a small procedure, and which is supposed to, the patient who undergoes that particular procedure recovers within a week or so. But this particular case of mine, it took close to 3 months or more than that, I should say, to recover.
You had a health issue.
Yeah, I had a knee injury.
Okay.
So that took close to 3 months for me to recover out of that. And in that duration, I had to write my end semester examination. I had to submit my dissertation thesis. And it was my final semester, and everything which is going to contribute directly into my career was supposed to be done in that semester. And somehow I was just struggling to cope up with the things. But at that point in time, I really thought a lot, ki what is happening in my life? Why all these things are happening with me only? Why it is happening to me?
In the final semester, you're doing a master's and a lot of things derailing your
academics. Almost everything, whatever I have thought of, was just not happening.
Whatever you had thought,
whatever I thought of, was just not happening at that point in time. It was just going some way or the other. Something will go bad or some issue. So it was just going on and on and on. So, as it is said, whatever happens, just happens for the good. And when I look back, and I realize, it happened for my good.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bhagwan who gave me an opportunity to check or to see or to experience the kind of care, the kind of love which a patient gets in super speciality hospital, in Swami's hospital, the kind of medical care we give. It was from a close angle I could see how this particular healthcare project of Bhagwan is going on. And that made me more, like should say, like more curious about how so much can go on behind the scene. I mean, just wanted to see what is the other part of the story. I had experienced the healthcare project of Bhagwan as a patient, how a patient gets benefited in Swami's healthcare project. Just wanted to see how it happens other side. So that made me more curious about what happens here, what happens in the hospital.
How the care is delivered, what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah. What happens? So that's where, and I should say, like, it was April 15th, I finished writing my end semester exams, and one of my senior brother told, there's such vacancy in super hospital, so are you still interested? You, because I had certain plans of going towards hospital administration and this kind of courses. So, and that's where this particular guidance came from seniors, and I had applied for it. Then there was a series of interviews and I could get into. But there's one small incident I would like to mention here. Where when I was inpatient in orthopedics department of super speciality hospital, it was one fine day, director of the super hospital, he was on rounds and he just visited. I was there in my room and he just came there to see how am I doing there. And he found a big immunology book on my table there. And he asked, what are you doing with this book, boy? So I just said, sir, I'm doing my master's in biosciences and it's my end semester exams which are coming. So I'm just preparing for it. And he asked me some questions. And till certain extent, I could answer him. And certain things, I could not answer him. So he said, once you get well, once you are fine, you will come here and you will tell me. You had to explain me these topics. What all you could not explain, I could not explain him that day. I was supposed to go and explain to him.
So all the questions that you couldn't answer him that day, he wanted you to come back and answer.
And it happened, so when it was my interview, prior to interview, we had a discussion with the director. And in that interview, he asked me about those questions.
Oh my God. It's really amazing how
so it was
the dots were connecting.
Yeah, there, that's where. So that's how I got into the system, and it's a really a mammoth project, we should say, the healthcare project which is going on. On an average, in a particular day, we see around 500 consultation goes on in our OPDs in the super speciality hospital. How many poor people get benefited? There are a lot of people who don't even have money to come to this kind of, our free services which we are providing. They don't even have money to pay the train tickets, travel expenses. And sometimes it goes that bad that even the patient who's coming, they don't even have money to have their, to arrange for their lunch and dinner and all those things. It's a really, we should look into the our poorer sections of our society where there are a lot more of, poverty. So I should that's where I could see where how Swami's healthcare mission is playing a very important role in the society. And see, on an average, we have around 50 procedures which goes on throughout the hospitals, from major surgeries valve replacement to GI procedure. So it's it's only God who can do it. I would like to mention one more thing. There are service people, service engineers who just go on coming for the scheduled servicing in a hospital. So one of the service engineers, servicing of the equipments. One of the person just asked me, how is it that even after the departure of Bhagwan, you are still able to maintain this kind of standards, this kind of care to the patient? How is it happening? And I literally didn't have any answer for it. It's just Bhagwan's sheer love. It's his pure love which is running these projects. That's it.
That's what you told him.
That's all.
Wonderful. So you also got the opportunity of seeing what happens behind the scenes of the healthcare mission. You were a beneficiary and now you become a staff of the same mission.
And it's really interesting, as you mentioned, that, you know, probably you, but for that sickness and stay in the hospital, you probably wouldn't have developed that much affinity with the hospital. And that desire to serve in the hospital probably wouldn't have come.
True.
We don't know. That's why I think after every tragedy that we experience in life, you only realize that it was actually an opportunity which opened up some new doors. I think it's everyone's experience, but only then, only when it is, when you're going through that, it's very difficult. Like you asked, you know, why it's happened to me. Only later we realize that it's everything is so meaningful in life. And especially, I mean, once you have come under his umbrella, I think every moment is significant because he's all the time guiding. Yes, Siddharth. Why and how you happen to see yourself now in the Bhakti Sahayak division of the Sadhana Trust? I know you mentioned about, you know, that interaction with Bhagwan, and then you developed that interest and that pining to earn his grace, but how did that translate into really actually, you know, taking this sort of bold decision to stay back?
Well, initially when we joined for MBA, and after this experience that I had, where I had, you know, even without asking Padmanuskar, in a sense, me and one of my classmates, who is also currently working in the books and publications department, Mohit, we started talking. We were roommates and, you know, classmates. We were talking about, you know, how Swami, you know, he is giving, you know, so much of love, and what can we do to, or get a part of, you know, bask in that love rather. So when we were talking and we were thinking, you know, let's look at some course which we can do, you know, maybe, you know, an MPhil or an MA in economics or something of that sort after MBA, which will guarantee that as two more years, you know, you get a lot of love from Swami as a student.
So this was in the first year?
This was in the first year. But
when Bhagwan was still there,
we were thinking of doing some
student,
something of that sort, and, you know, it never struck our mind that, you know, we can stay back and work. That was never a part of the initial plans. And after that, Swami took Mahasamadhi. So all this talk, you know, for some time there was nothing about it, and it was just, you know, us going about our regular routine and going back from college and hostel and mandir. That's about it.
The topic just closed.
Yes, it just closed. And I think towards the after sports meet, if I'm not mistaken, this somewhere again that started. You know, now we are coming to the
January.
End of our culmination of your
2-3 months and
a few more months and you're out of the system. So what do you do? And, you know, so what me and Mohit did with this was to go and talk to our former warden, because we wanted to stay back, and somehow studying was not really a good option at that time. Even though we thought of MA economics and MPhil, you know, we were thinking MBA is enough, yeah, it's too much. How much more could we cram? Because we, you know, it was just subjects going into our head, churned in. So we were thinking, okay, can we look at something? Because we had already heard by then of a lot of people, you know, who had stayed back and worked for Swami, especially our teachers, their experiences. So we thought, why not work? You know, look at some opening inside the ashram.
But Siddharth, you know, in your first year, you wanted to continue as a student,
right,
because you wanted to bask in
Swami's love,
in his physical proximity.
Right.
And the second year is over and Bhagwan has taken Mahasamadhi. Then why are you again thinking now of staying back?
I don't know. I guess for me, it was always that, you know, he's invisible. It is just a veil that is there, you know, which is waiting to be pulled. And I guess, for me, why working was at that point of time was because, frankly, I could not ask my parents for money to stay back here and study. That was one thing. And the second thing was, I was thinking, you know, it'll give me a larger vista of understanding how things work inside the ashram, and because these are all people, most of them who have stayed back are students who are working in different institutions. So what is it that is driving them to stay? There is something. I don't know what it is. Is it something which will propel me to stay as well? I did not know. It was more like a decision that was taken at the spur of a moment. And that's how it started. I mean, I really did not see how it transitioned from being a student into working here. We started talking and we realized maybe, you know, it's not really the best call to take continuing education. So we thought, let's look at some opportunity to work.
So the next best thing is probably to
work here. So we looked at that and we spoke to our former warden, Shivshankar Sai sir, and he said that it's a good thing that, you know, that you're wanting to give something back to Swami by staying here and working. Of course, there were two large words at that point of time. You know, you're not thinking about giving back anything to Swami. You just want to stay here in the first place. So, what he did was, after continuous reminders, he called up our senior brother from Baksa Division, Sri Raviteja and Sri Vijay. And by the time, the crowd actually grew bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just two of us at the time. So it became, Kartikeya also got included in that, you know, because we were talking to somebody, so he was also there, and there was one more boy whose name is Deep Chakravarti. Suddenly he also...
There are actually 6-7 boys now.
By then it was 4 boys whom we knew that, you know, wanted to stay back. And, you know, and in fact, all of us have stayed back. And we started talking to these people and they said, okay, you know, we can look at opportunities, but, you know, it will take some time from our end. So, which was not a very concrete reply. So we were thinking, okay, let us look at other opportunities also. So then we got in touch with Neeraj brother from the hospital. He came and he spoke to us. So by this time, again, the crowd, the size increased.
Okay.
So it was now another 2 more boys who wanted to stay back. Sriram and somebody else was there. And, you know, we were happy. Okay, some boys are showing their interest in staying back. But we were thinking, okay, all these fellows are planning to stay back. Will we really get a chance? So it is like competition now.
Competition,
you know, there are a few available slots, and if the lottery goes to somebody else, will you get?
Yeah.
So, and then one boy who had already decided to stay back said, no, you guys work, I'll do MPhil. And he got into MPhil.
Okay, he got into
He got into the university. His path was more or less fixed at that point in time. He wanted to get into doing research and things. So we were thinking, you know, okay, at least since we've spoken to so many people, something might just turn up. And then, as he mentioned, you know, people from the Sadhana Trust came and all the units put together, may gave a combined presentation and followed by Vidyavahini. And we all, and Vidyavahini also at that point in time, they were mentioning that you will have to probably go to schools outside.
Yes.
So, even though it caught our imagination, I guess for me, the more, the point that I wanted to focus was, as Kartikeya said, was to stay in Puttaparthi. So, even I don't know. I mean, I really don't know why. Maybe it is Swami's return that we are all waiting for. So I wanted to stay here, and at that point of time there were no opportunities available. So immediately after college, we were all supposed to go for Catalyst. So by then my friends had finished preparing their CVs, and I was really doing nothing.
Catalyst is the program.
Catalyst is the program which, you know, again,
our my brothers help the current batch of students.
And the immediate passing out batches, graduating batches, helped by the seniors to take up various openings in the industry. So, you know, I did not really do much. I was also assigned a point of contact from Catalyst, and he told me that you need to look at, you know, these things to polish up your CV this way. I did a little bit here and there. I was still not sure. I mean, I was in a dilemma. Should I tell Swami that, you know, I'm in two minds, that I want to stay here? Or if I, then the next thought that came to mind is, if I tell him that I'm in two minds, will he accept the fact that I'm in two minds? Will he push away my chances? Because so many boys are there now. So, we all started working, and by then he was already confirmed.
Yes.
And we were still, you know, grappling.
Kartikeya was the first to join.
Kartikeya was the first to be confirmed and join. Yes. He was happy about it. And we were still grappling. Abhi, he's already done. So what about us? Nobody's giving a real concrete answer which we can go and tell our parents. So we had a few rounds of interviews. We spoke to, I remember speaking to Professor Anant Raman for the media division office, for some work there, then Baksa Ek division, then I remember coming to Radio Sai, Book Trust. There was probably no place which I had not gone to asking for a job to stay back. And sometime towards the middle of May, we came to know that we were confirmed into Baksa Ek division, and I was to join Raviteja sir into the HR department, and my friend Mohit was to join into the books and publications department, and Deep Chakravarti was to join into the purchases department. So we were happy, okay, now I can tell my parents. So I told my parents. There was an initial argument about how, why, what, your career, this, that. So at that point of time, I could not really I thought, you know, maybe it is best that I stay back. Initially, at that point of time, I had this doubt because, you know, I'm really not keeping my parents happy. Rather, my father was very unhappy with the decision that I took. So I really did think, should I go ahead and take up this job? That doubt came at that point of time.
Your father wanted you to pursue a career.
He wanted me to pursue a career. And I wanted to have some sign from Swami saying, you know, that, no, this is what I'm supposed to do. And that urge was still there. This doubt did come in my mind. So what happened was, for some work, me and my mother had to go to Vrindavan that following week. And I had a copy of my appointment order. And I thought, you know, I'll just go and keep it near Ganesha outside, or at the most, if they allow, outside Tarayya near the door. I went there and I met an old Sevadal in charge, who was also an ex-student. His name is Harish. And he asked me how am I doing. So I told him that, you know, I've secured a job inside the ashram. And he had already known the fact that I had finished my MBA. So he was like, congratulations, you know, Swami will take care. And then that was a casual conversation. It just got over there. After some time, we were sitting in the Kalyan Mandapam and the program was going on there. He happened to come out for something and he spotted me sitting near the door. So he just called me out and I went to him and he said, he asked me, have you gone inside? I said, no.
Gone inside.
No, he didn't mention Trai Vrindavan. I said, have you gone inside? And I said, no. So he said, no, come, I need some help.
Okay.
So I asked, what do you want? He said, I have to put some malas inside Trai, inside the building.
Some garlands, okay.
So, some garlands. So I said, give me 2 minutes. I ran, picked up the appointment order copy and went with him and said, see, I have this copy, I need to get it blessed. That much, no, don't worry, I'll get it done. So he told me and he called me and we went and we picked up these few garlands. I think that Sunday they were supposed to have a bhajan there inside. I think the Seva, they'll do it on a rotation basis. I'm not sure about it now. So I went there and when I went in, I really did not expect my appointment order to get it blessed there inside the, inside is a, you know, his living abode. And I went inside. We were in the ground floor. I was told to string up this mala garland to, you know, few threads, you know, tied it up and put it up. And after that, Mr. Bhatia came in and he said he saw what was going on and he left. And then he said, now you go and put it on the chair. So I put it on the footrest, got it blessed, had my eye. I was sure by then that, okay, set. So
I mean, you not only got a chance to keep your appointment letter, but also offer a garland.
Yes, to be very... I really did not think of it till now. It was all just happening too fast. And then after that, I was very sure. So I went and convinced my father saying, you know, I'm going to stay back for a year.
I mean, you got your sign.
I got my clearance. So I told him and then he was like, okay, fine. So, and then my mother was very happy with the decision. She was very supportive of it throughout. And I joined work. This was about a few days before I joined. Maybe, you know, Swami was thinking, what if this fellow is getting one more doubt? So we'll confirm that. What happened is, one of the dreams that I got, I remember Swami was going in his chair up and down. I don't know what was he doing up and he was going from the side again, coming back from the other side. So he, a few rounds he made. And then he came and casually glanced at me and said, Pada, Veldamo.
Come,
let's go. That's what it translates. And my Telugu, I was just picking it up at that point of time. And for me, that was the confirmation. You know, whatever happens, that's it. So with greater enthusiasm and rigor, I packed my bags and came to Parthi.
Wonderful. So now 1 year into it, your father is okay?
He is okay. In fact, recently I went back to Bangalore to talk to him about extending for another year.
Okay.
So he again brought up the question of your career and stuff of that sort. And he was saying, you know, your classmates are doing better. Your schoolmates who studied with you are doing better. What are you doing here? I really did not have an answer. I knew that this question is going to come and hit me at some point in time. So I was praying from as early as November, December that, you know, when I confront my father, I should be able to tell him that I want to stay for another year. It so happened that I happened to read a book where it says, if you're surrendering your problems to God, then it should be total surrender. Total surrender means you don't even remember that there is a problem. You don't even fret about it.
It's just given it.
Complete surrender. Don't even bother to think that there is a problem. You know, that's a rough translation of what it is. And I remember, whenever this problem would come to my mind, I would say, Swami, I have surrendered this problem to you. So I'm not going to think about it. And I would just get back to my work and do it. I was waiting for an explosion this time when I went home. What happened is, it was a very casual, easy conversation. We just breezed through in about 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. It was over. You know, I said, I'm going to stay back and, you know, even, okay, what about this, that? I told him, I'm just staying here for my peace of mind. That's it. Conversation ended there. He was like, okay, fine.
You just said, I'm staying back there because of peace of mind.
Because I got a lot of peace of mind. No, that's what I told him. I'm not staying here for career growth or anything. I feel a lot of peace of mind when I'm staying here in Puttaparthi. Conversation ended
and
there.
Your father had nothing to say.
Nothing else. And then the conversation drifted into, you know, what did you read today's newspaper, sports section? That's it. Conversation was over. And I was, it was like, you know, it's such a big thing that I was thinking in my mind, it might have go, you know.
That's such a profound lesson. I mean, even Karthikeya talked about it, you know, surrender. He just, as he said, you just leave always in the moment and just don't worry about it, you know, just give it to him and then things work out.
It's a continuous reminder. Every now and then we have a problem. I'm just speaking, you know, for myself, I guess. What happens is we end up thinking that we are in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Forgetting the fact that everything is in his hands.
Yes.
And no matter what you want to do, no matter how many times you plan things, it's all struck out like that and whatever he wants happens. So I'm just happy that for once what I wanted is what he wanted. and you know that it's taken care of like that.
Wonderful.
But there's still a lot of learning that needs to take place, you know, for us to cement that faith. These are again, you know, once in a while, that's why these memories make a lot, especially the times that we spent with Swami. Whatever he did physically and otherwise, I think this is what propels you to take a decision and stick by it.
Be inspired.
Be inspired.
Yes. Fantastic. As you were talking about problems and surrender, you know, what came to mind is someone speaking in Bhagwan's presence once said, you know, whenever there's a problem, we say, oh my God, I have a problem. What we should be saying is, oh problem, I have a God. And I think in many ways, all of us are implementing that in some way or the other. So, Siddharth, you work in the Bhakti Sahayak division of the Sadhana Trust, which looks after the canteens and the shopping complex and the Gokulam and all that. So, was there anything new that you learned about these institutions which you did not know?
I, first of all, did not know that all these institutions were under Bhakti Sahayak division.
Okay.
And I think most people don't even know there's something called Bhakti Sahayak division.
Correct.
They think it's a shopping complex.
And they know a canteen. They don't know this is the body
yes,
which runs this institution.
That's one thing. People still call it by Bhakti Sahayak Sangh, which is the old name that it had. My work took me to a lot of different places and made me do a lot of different things. The first thing which I did was, you know, which I would say, I joined into the HR department, but what I did was to get into Gokulam.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we needed somebody to come down and give medical assistance immediately. We have a permanent doctor at the moment, but we needed somebody with some veterinary specialization to come down and
look after the cows.
Look after the cows. And my first job was to find a doctor for these cows. And you know, again, how Swami plays it is amazing. I called up a friend of mine who was in Bangalore, and he said, you know, there's this set of people who have done seva with them. They are from Chennai. They're from Tamil Nadu, not Chennai. And that they'll be ready to help and help you if it's only a service activity. So you're saying, you know, if it's a service activity, it'll be like, you know, monthly once or in a quarter once. So we don't want to do that. We want to actually have a doctor full time. So what happened is, you know, eventually we got these people to come, and with them came about 6-7 doctors in different areas. You know, one was specialist in gynecology, the other was specialist in some disease control. It was nice. You know, suddenly we actually saw a good change in Gokulam with the help of this team and these set of doctors. The other thing which I happened to see is the volume of people that are involved in all these activities, you know, be it the shopping complex or the bakery or the canteens. People who have been blessed by Swami, directly guided by Swami. If you see the bakery, even today they make something called Anand.
Yes.
Which is something that Swami used to like. Mm-hmm. And I think they still price as a
I think it's there only in Puttaparthi.
Only in Puttaparthi.
I don't think
only in Puttaparthi.
It's there anywhere else.
Only in Puttaparthi. And the gentleman who runs bakery, Mr. Banerjee, he's about 91 years old. But still, you should see the kind of enthusiasm that he has to run the day-to-day operations.
Yes.
Him and then Mrs. Sarojini Iyer, who works in the Western Canteen, who has been again blessed by Swami and guided in so many things. Same goes for all the other units, you know, where Swami has literally. I happened to see the opening video of Shopping Complex and how Swami literally went and saw all of those things, you know, how the dresses are arranged, how this particular rack looks. He had questions for everything. You know, nothing misses his eye. And there are stories about you know how the shopping complex was there before where Swami stays. Yeah. Yajur Mandir, that side where
shops,
the sheds,
shops are there.
Shops are there. Yeah. They still have those shops there.
Yeah.
From there, without asking, how Swami decided one fine day that now it has to move into this particular building where the IT center is currently.
Secretary's office.
Currently Secretary's office. And again, without asking a few years
back. And where Radio Sai is.
Where Radio Sai is. Yes, where Radio Sai is. And then without asking, one fine day he says, you know, we need a bigger place. So, you know, I'll construct something for you. And then comes up the shopping complex, which is, again, an amazing place. And there are anecdotes which our elders mentioned to us as to how Swami used to take care of each thing. You know, even to the extent of mentioning why ladies should have separate shopping hours and why gents should have shopping hours separate. And he was very particular about it, saying, you know, when it was in this building, in the current secretary's office, the space was very constricted.
Yeah.
So he would say it would lead to a lot of unwanted activities.
Mm.
Yeah, and that would not be good for an ashram.
Mm.
So that kind of, I mean, nobody would go to that extent. I mean, you have a shop or, you know, for example, you go to a big bazaar, nobody will stop you from entering. Yeah?
Yes.
They just want business. But
yes,
this is an ashram. So how should people conduct themselves in an ashram?
Yeah.
It is very important that the decorum of the ashram is not lost. So to that extent, you know, the meticulousness with which he displays in those small details.
To provide a service, not to make money.
It's not to make money. You know, for that matter, even now, I would say that our shopping complex is the only that sort of a commercial enterprise. I don't know if you can use it the year, but which provides daily needs at wafer thin margins, which only helps us to survive and, you know, continue our business and churn back in. There is no serious profit that is made. The profit that is made is the percentage which Swami has said you should put on each of the products, which is flat. There is nothing else. He has said put this percentage and then take the profit. That's about it.
To maintain yourself.
That's about it. And that has been there since the time the shopping complex was opened. It has not changed even now.
Okay.
So that's the extent to which he goes around the details. And and there is something which we tell our workers and employees every now and then. You've joined Bhakta Sahayak division. Bhakta means devotee and Sahaya means service. So literally Swami has charted your path. And this is something which Ravi sir keeps on telling every now and then. He has literally charted down your path. Serve the devotee with a smile. That's what they want. Give. They are not here because they are. This is, what do you find here which is not available outside? Everything else is available, but they still come here because it is Swami's. So
yes,
give them that service.
I think a lot of people, when they buy things from the shopping complex, you know, for them it is prasadam.
It is prasadam. Yes. You know, it doesn't matter what item it is. It is the joy that they get.
I bought something from the Prashanti Ashram.
From Prashanti Ashram is different.
Yes.
It's not the same item is not available outside.
Correct. In fact, I remember even when I was in Odisha, you know, you want to get something from the shopping complex for your family, you know, because you want to get it from Prashantinilayam. And even now, I think there are people who cherish that thing of, you know, buying something, you know, just like for people who eat in the canteens, it is prasadam for them. Something, you know, you pick up from the shopping complex also, it's like, so it's really, it's a very heartening feeling, you know, when you actually get to work in these institutions which have been really physically built by Bhagwan. Actually, I mean, he has built every stone and brick and he has laid down everything. He's just like the hostel, he's kind of guided at every step the growth of this.
Yes.
And you've seen videos of how Bhagwan has walked every part of the shopping complex and now you get to work there. I think it's the same with the Central Trust office, it's the same with the hospital. So it's really wonderful to become part of these institutions. What are your final thoughts, Abhishek?
I should say, like, really, I really feel blessed that Swami has given me this opportunity. And as like I was the beneficiary of Swami's this hospital project. As a patient, I got treated, and now I could see the other side of it and serve, contribute something, or in my smaller way, something I can contribute in that huge project. But still, I am a beneficiary because Swami has given me that opportunity to at least do that small part. I am really thankful to Swami for giving me this opportunity to work here. I pray to him that he continues to motivate me to go on like this.
Wonderful. Your parents are very happy that you're working here.
Like it's their wish. Like my father always wanted me to be here. So he is like his dreams, all dreams are fulfilled. Like he just don't have any more other wishes. Like he was always like, you should be there, boy. You should be just there.
He's and happy. If you're in Prashanti, he's happy.
He's happy.
Wonderful. I think Swami is taking care for each one, you know, for someone where it was not proper, he's setting things right. And he's slowly ensuring that once you have a desire to do something pure, you know, I'm reminded of a quote of Swami Vivekananda. You know, he said, a pure will is omnipotent. And that is what we saw in Bhagwan's life, you know. He was just a colossus of purity. He just had always a pure thought and just things happened. And in our own little ways, we see that happen. You know, you have one pure thought, you want to do something noble, you want to do something good, you want to dedicate yourself, you want to do a selfless act. The moment you take a decision and with an attitude of surrender, as all of us have experienced, you know, once you have that attitude of surrender and you have something which is noble, everything else is taken care of. Everything falls in place. Wonderful. Thank you so much, brothers, for taking your time out. And I know there's so much more that you can share. Maybe we'll get opportunities to sit back again after a couple of years of you being working here. Maybe next year we'll just sit down again and reflect on how it has been living in Prashantinilayam and working for him, staying in this divine hamlet. Thank you so much. Sairam. So that was Abhishek Rao, Kartik Dwivedi and Siddharth Haridas, all former students of Bhagwan's institutions who finished their education in 2012 and took the decision to stay back and serve in his institutions in Prashantinilayam. I'm reminded of a letter that Swami wrote to students way back in 1976. In that, Swami writes, in this world, there are lakhs of colleges which impart education. Why then should I spend an enormous amount of money to establish colleges? And then Swami goes on to explain, one reason is to bring you here on the pretext of imparting worldly education is that your parents and you yourself have a particular fascination for such an education, that is this worldly education. While giving you such education on one hand, on the other, it is the Sai Sankalpa, it is the Sai's divine will to fill your hearts and mind with adhyatmic education, that is the spiritual education, which actually is the basis for worldly studies. So Swami says that because all of you, including your parents, are interested only in this worldly education, I offer you more like a bait. So once you come here, then I want to give you spiritual education. And then in that letter, Swami goes on to add, along with spiritual education, all these three types of education are essential, like arthika education, that is the education needed to get over worldly difficulties, artharthi education, Swami says, which is the education needed to make a living, and jigyansu education, the education which instills in you a spirit of inquiry. And Swami says, true wisdom or true jnana is made up of all these three types of education. And the spirit of inquiry, the jigyasa, that is the core, that is the juice. If you take the case of a fruit, and Swami says, if you take the case of a fruit, the artharthi education, that is the education to earn a living, that is like the pulp, an arthi education, the education which is to help to get over worldly difficulties, that is like the skin of the fruit. And Swami says there cannot be a fruit without the skin, without the pulp and without the juice. But if one is desirous of tasting the sweetness of the fruit, one has to have the whole fruit along with the skin, the pulp and the juice. And then you have to discard the pulp and the skin. Swami says the spirit of inquiry, which is the juice, that is important, the jikyasuness, that is important. And when you have all these three, only then you have the complete fruit, you have the complete knowledge. And Swami says, by discarding the outer skin, once you have all these three in you, God will discard that outer skin of knowledge that you have, and He will partake that sweet juice. And not only He will partake, but He will also exhibit it to the world. And Bhagwan in that letter goes on to add, if in the 160 fruits, that is the boys, at least someone were to become such a fruit, it will be possible to have the entire world in one's grip. And Swami goes on to say, you should become fruits which have to be offered to Swami. You should become, in fact, the Naivedyam itself, you should become the offering itself. You should become Swami's instruments. You should become the beloved of Swami. You should take each step in keeping with Swami's steps. You should stand. You should stand by Swami as His companions, like His shadow. And He says, I am in need of such persons. They are the very embodiments of my love. That is what Bhagwan says in this letter to the students in 1976. What he wants is students should always cultivate education which is complete in its every sense, which is education for living, as Bhagwan says, as well as education for life. It is a confluence of both, the best of both, so that you are equipped enough to become instruments in God's hands. And it's really very heartening to see, whenever you see students after leaving the portals of this institution, doing their best in whatever way they can to live by the teachings, to live by the principles that they have learned in Bhagwan's institutions. And today's session, I guess, is one such opportunity where you see the students choosing the higher thing in life. Dear listeners, please do share your feedback and your thoughts about what you heard in the last 1 hour or so. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org if you have any suggestions, or if you would like to us to take up any particular theme for this program, Outside Inside Deep Inside, you are most welcome. Please do drop an email to listener@radiosai.org. And if you want to listen to this episode once again, you can download it from our website, radiosai.org, from the Thursday Live archives, and listen at your convenience at any time. With this, as the time shows that it's already 9:53, it is time to draw the curtains on this last leg of Thursday Live broadcast from the studios. We dedicate this program at Bhagwan's lotus feet and offer our deep sense of gratitude for enabling us to offer whatever we have been doing to you, which is completely by His grace. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and it's time to sign off from this Thursday Live straight from the studios. And even as I leave, you will continue to listen to a drama by the children of Sai Vidya Vihar, Kerala, from Alvi, Kerala. It is entitled Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, and this was presented by these little children on the 4th of September 2006 in Prashant Nilayam, in Bhagwan's Divine Presence. So, as I leave you, you will continue to listen to this drama by Sai children. Keep listening, do enjoy, and do share your thoughts, and let's always, never for a moment, forget his messages and his teachings in our lives, because that is the only thing which can add value to our lives. The best way, they say, to value the master is to master his values. Let's do that with joy. Thank you so much, and Sairam.